Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Again, we'll be in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 20, and before we read the scripture, let's just kind of rehash some things where we're at. We have been for the last few weeks looking at the future Babylon. The book of Revelation says quite a bit about Babylon, uses Babylon to describe a lot of evil, a lot of wickedness, false religion, a lot of things that will be taking place during the tribulation period. Now, Babylon will come to power during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. The first 3.5 years will be a time of peace. It will be a time of, well, I say peace. We'll just remember the Antichrist struck a false peace treaty with Israel and with the world and settled down all of those wars. But at the same time when that happened, God started chastising the world with the seven judgments, with the horsemen, with all kinds of things that was taking place there. Then at the 3.5 year mark, the Antichrist will set himself up in the temple, which will have been rebuilt, and he will put himself there as God. And he will cast down the false religious system that he has aligned himself with. So what will happen during the first 3.5 years is the Antichrist will align himself with a religion, a false religion. He will make that religion very popular. He will build up the world economic system, the world political system. He will build it all into one massive machine that will look very inspiring to the person on the outside. The world will be going through chastisements of God, but the world will be popular, it will be prosperous, it will be very prestigious at that time. And then at the 3.5 year mark, the Antichrist will step up and he will cast away that religious system. The combination of the false religious system and the false political system and the false economic system, along with the false materialistic stuff, everything going on in the world, all of that comprises Babylon. All of that comprises the Babylon of Revelation. Now, as we started into chapter 18 and 17 and 18, Babylon was starting to be judged. When the 3.5 year mark opens, and that the last 3.5 years, the Antichrist will see judgments. The world will see judgments of God. There will be seven vile judgments that will be one right behind the other, progressive. Boom, boom, boom. And when we look at that word vile in Revelation, we remember it is like a bowl that is not just poured but is dumped. So there will be seven judgments that God will dump on the earth. And they will be literal judgments. And those judgments will cause the destruction and the collapse of Babylon. That's where we are right now. Babylon has collapsed. Babylon has been judged. Babylon has been destroyed. As a matter of fact, last week we looked at the lament of the people of the world over Babylon being destroyed. How the political leaders were weeping and they were brokenhearted because their system had fallen. Their wealth was gone. The religious leaders were brokenhearted because their perception and their image had been destroyed. The shipping lanes and all of the great things of movement and all the big machines of the world all came to a grinding stop because Babylon had been destroyed. So tonight we're going to pick up in verse 20 of chapter 18 And we're going to see another side of this judgment tonight. We are going to see heaven's side of this judgment. We are going to see judgment that is enjoyed tonight. So as I read from God's Word, you can follow with me with verse 20 out of your Bible, or you can look in the study guide. The study guide is the New King James Translation. I'll be reading from the King James Translation. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more in all that. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. May God add blessing to the reading of His Word tonight. First, in verse 20, look with me as we look at how judgment has been enjoyed. When we would go all the way back to verse 4, we would see that what was addressed was the redeemed in heaven and the saints. It was a general term for all the believers and the apostles. They were a special class of saints. But He calls on them to rejoice. He calls on the people of heaven to rejoice over her, to rejoice over Babylon being destroyed, over Babylon being judged. God hath avenged you on her. Two little words there that are very key. The word for and the word on. In the King James it says for God, or on behalf of these God has. And then the word on her speaks to Babylon. God's judgment was for those people who had been wronged. It was for God who had been wronged by Babylon and by all of these people who had deceived on her behalf. And it was done on them by God. They didn't do it. Nations of the world didn't do it. Militaries didn't do it. People praying to God for Him to move on their behalf and on His holiness brought down this judgment upon them, and the simple fact that God had prophesied it from generations past. If we go all the way back into the Old Testament, we will see things in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah and in Isaiah and in Daniel where God prophesied that He was going to destroy the evil and the wickedness that was in the world. It was going to be a time of judgment. We are slowly introducing Armageddon. We are slowly introducing that point in time. Last week we looked at where the armies of the world were standing and looking at Babylon in awe as they were marching to Armageddon. As they were traveling to the Valley of Megiddo, they were marching by Babylon, and there it was, a smoldering, smoking city, destroyed, falling. And they were looking at it in awe and in reverence and in wonder, saying, God has destroyed this. God has, and they knew God done it. But they wouldn't repent. They would not repent. It gives you an idea and a picture of just how prideful people will be during that day. And as I've said before, when we've been in this, what we look at today on the 6 o'clock news and the events taking place around the world, this is we are rolling out the carpet. We are paving the way for the day of the tribulation and the day of Babylon. I'm not a conspiracy theorist by no means, but you hear a lot of controversy about the United Nations, about things taking place there. We read about when we studied the beast, and we had the ten horns and the seven kingdoms and those things there. I don't know if you heard, but just last week, let me try to get the name of the city in Spain, Caledonia. There was a city in Spain that voted to break away from Spain and start their own nation. If I'm not mistaken, it was Spain. It was Spain or Italy, but in either case, one of the European nations voted, a city voted to break away from the nation and start their own government. The world as we know it is taking a different shape. The world as we know it is redefining itself daily. The world as we know it is reshaping itself. The world as we know it in front of our very eyes is rolling out the carpet and paving the way for the tribulation. And when we look at this and when we see how things are going to be unfolding in that day and when we realize what's actually going to happen, we can see many, many things happening in our world today that are already in place as the Word of God starts working with them and starts revealing what's going to happen. When we see Babylon and how Babylon behaved when it fell, we can understand a worldwide nation that is corrupt in government, that is corrupt in corporate greed, that is corrupt in its immorality and its sexual morality and how it behaves and handles itself. We see people, a civilization that's going backward instead of forward. We have all of the technologies that are available to us where we have point and click, anything we want at our fingertips. We can make it happen and happen right now. And instead of using it to benefit ourselves spiritually, instead of using it to benefit ourselves materialistically in a good godly fashion, in a good godly way, we're using it to go backwards. We're turning farther and farther away from God in everything that we do and in every day that we live and every breath that we take. Babylon is growing and developing under our very noses. Now, with that said, and we see that God says to rejoice over her being fallen, in verse 21, we see a mighty angel. And this, by the way, is another mighty angel. Whenever we look at this, we see several times mentioned in Revelation 17 and 18 that there were mighty angels that came from heaven to do certain things. And these were different angels. They were all of the same type, but they were different ones. And here comes an angel that takes a stone, a millstone, and throws it into the sea. Now, we've went over some of these images. The sea in the book of Revelation is actually an image or an illustration of humanity, of mankind. It is a picture of the populations of the world. So we have an angel that takes a millstone from heaven and throws it onto the planet and into the middle of the populations of the earth. It makes a mess. They were cast into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down." When God called Babylon to judgment, it happened quickly. It wasn't a long, drawn-out process. It wasn't anything slow. It was just as quick as the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was just as quick as the flood of Noah's day. It was just as quick as the tearing down of the Tower of Babel and the scattering of people. When God says it is time for people to be held accountable and time for judgment, it's time for judgment, and He moves forward, and He moves forward immediately, and He moves forward then. And that's what happened here. That illustration of the millstone being cast down from heaven onto the face of the earth in the midst of the people is an illustration that shows how quickly, when God says it's time to be judged, how quickly He does judge a nation or a people. And we as a people here in America need to realize when God says it's time for America to be judged, we will be judged. I have been reading recently some articles about our military. Our military is so poorly funded that we can't make repairs to the aircraft that we have to defend our nation. We can't keep them in the air. They're actually going to junkyards, and they're getting parts off of old aircraft in junkyards to fix new aircraft to keep them running. The Navy's in just as bad a shape. I read just yesterday where the Navy has got a very large number of ships that are scheduled to be retired because their hull life of 35 years. The ship that goes into the Navy only has a hull life of 35 years. After that, it is at risk of collapsing and the hull breaking down because of the sea time that it's had. They are talking about, the Navy is talking about going to Congress and telling Congress, look, we need all these ships. We don't have, you can't replace them. You don't have the money to replace them. We have to have the ships to defend our nation with, so we're going to have to keep them in the water beyond 35 years. What's happening to our nation? What's happening to the America that was the strongest, mightiest nation on the face of the earth? We have people today that will not reverence and will not respect the flag. We have people that won't respect the national anthem. We have people that in the classrooms, they will remove it out of the classroom. Some churches remove the flags out of the churches. Now that's all sounding very patriotic and very nice, but it does show something. It shows a culture and a society of people that have been so used to living in such a comfortable life and in such a comfortable area and such a comfortable time that we no longer feel like we need these things or they're no longer important in our lives because we are America and nobody can defeat us just because we are America. We have slipped morally and have been slipping morally since the 1960s. We have taken prayer out of classrooms, the opportunity and the freedom of prayer. I'm not talking about forced prayer. I'm talking about the freedom of prayer in a classroom. Way back when I was a first grader, and yes, when I was that small, they did have first grade. Way back then, when I was in first grade, we could have prayer in the classroom. You were not required to pray. I don't know what folks are telling you today, but you were not required to pray. The teacher would say, we're going to pray now, and if you want to pray with us, you can, and if you don't feel like you have to. And the teacher would pray. I remember it well. Miss Simmons, my first grade teacher, lived up here on Highway 80, right up here in the Buck Creek area. She would lead us in prayer. Then after we would pray, we would all stand and we would turn to the flag and we would put our hands over our hearts and we would cite the Pledge of Allegiance. All in one class. Again, if someone did not want to, they were not made to. But the opportunity was given. Now, it's don't even give the opportunity. Now it's don't even worry about any of that. Now we have such an immoral society, such an unstructured society, such a society where everyone is offended about something. If you just want to make a statement, just find something and get mad over it. I bring all of this up for a purpose in our scripture from Babylon being fallen. All of this points back to one thing, and it is a lack of God in society. We no longer want to acknowledge that there is a God And the best way to do that is to start raising a generation of people who do not hear about God, who do not have to listen to the name of God, who do not have to say the name of God, who do not have to have anything to do with God. And as they grow up in it, and there's nothing on television about God, there's nothing in the programming about God, there's nothing in the home about God, there's nothing in the community about God, there's nothing in anybody's life about God. So you have a generation growing up that has no place, no knowledge of God whatsoever in their lives. And then when you get that generation multiplied by two or three times, there is no God in society. And what happens? You have the door wide open for a false religion, for a smooth-talking antichrist to come into the picture and to build a Babylon. And once Babylon is built, there is nothing to happen except for God to judge it. And that's what's happened. As he moves on, he talks about that millstone and about the violence that is cast down. And that shall be found no more at all. There will be no more Babylon. Just as there was no more Sodom and Gomorrah, just as there is the world that existed before the flood is no more. The world was completely reshaped by the flood. Land masses were shifted and moved. When the waters receded, the world was totally different than it was before the flood. Babylon no longer exists, but the condition and the shape of the world has been changed forever. As we move into verse 22, we see that there's harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters, and they're going to be heard no more. So there's going to be no more entertainment coming out of Babylon. There's going to be no joy, no happiness. There's going to be no craftsmen of any craft. So there's going to be nothing built. Babylon is going to be building anything. Babylon's a worldwide machine now. So there's not going to be any industry left around the world that's going to be functioning. There's not going to be any kind of food produced. In verse 22, you see that There'll be no more of the sound of a millstone. That millstone is a millstone that's going to be grinding the wheat and grinding the corn and producing the food. Babylon will no longer be producing food for the world. People will be starving. Literally starving. And then there will be no candle that shall shine no more. And that is probably the most interesting one that's there. Because that is a picture of love and marriage and family. There will be none of that in existence anymore. It will be an apocalyptic world of every person for themselves. It will be violence. It will be chaos. It will be worldwide misery. All at the hands of the Antichrist. And then we see that the lamp of the bridegroom and of the bride will be heard no more. The gospel will be preached no more. The church bells will not ring again. People, if there are any Christians left on the face of the earth at that time, they will be of their own, they will be on their own to worship. They will be on their own to read their Bibles. They will be on their own to deal with the risks that will come from being a Christian. Now, up until this point, there's risk. We've covered that. To be a Christian during this day is to put your name on a most wanted list. Literally, Christians during this time, prior to Babylon falling, are going to be hunted. They're going to be hunted like animals. They're going to have an execution order placed on them. now there's going to be no corporate worship left anymore. There's going to be no Holy Spirit presence. The person that is there that may be a Christian, that may be genuine in their faith, are going to be left on their own to reach out to God. Why would God do that? To separate the wheat from the chaff. If there are any fake Christians out there, they're not going to be fake after this. Because they're going to be willing to do anything that it takes to survive. They'll throw their Bibles into the corner and they'll say, no more of that, I'm taking care of me. The real, genuine, true Christian is going to be uniting themselves with others, and they're going to be calling out to God, and they're going to be allowing God to help them, take care of them, to lead them and to guide them and to direct them. That's the people that God wants, and that's the ones that He wants separating themselves socially from others. Will it be obvious? You better believe it will. Because when the people of the Antichrist start moving forward and they're going to do whatever it takes to take care of themselves, to feed themselves, even throwing God away in the process, they're going to be very obvious. So the other side is going to be very obvious as well. It is going to be a very obvious division of us versus them after Babylon is destroyed. Not a pretty picture, not a pretty time, but one that we are escalating toward at a very rapid pace tonight. One that's coming. The powers of hell themselves are moving across the face of this earth tonight while we are having church, while we are in this meeting, and they are setting up Babylon to come to a worldwide power, and they are doing so at the expense of sacrificing the world on behalf of the Antichrist. And it is up to the individual tonight to determine which side they're going to be on. The humanist tonight would tell you, don't worry about this. This is all mystical. This is all fairy tales. This is all a myth. They would say, don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. Then there was a group that the amillennialist would say, oh, well, it's already happened. It's just a depiction of what's happened in the first century. It's all said and done, and we have no idea what the future holds. The futurist will say, this is the prophecy of what is yet to come. And that's where I stand with it tonight. It is an unfulfilled prophecy of what is yet to come, and God has given you and I a very vivid warning of it tonight. A very vivid. And then as we move past that, we see at the closing of verse 23, that word for again, because of the Antichrist and because of Babylon, the merchants were great men of the earth. And again, for, or by, because of Babylon and the Antichrist, thy sorceries were all nations deceived. The fake religion was a sorcery that led people to worship the Antichrist. And in the payment of that, they were paid by wealth and by prestige and by popularity. Jesus asked in the New Testament, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Some here gave their soul in exchange for wealth and for power and for prestige and for popularity. We have people tonight in our culture that are doing that very same thing. They are giving their soul in order to be popular. They are giving their soul in order to be wealthy. They are doing whatever it takes, whatever is needed. They have no problem. And then when the popularity ceases, when the wealth seems to reach its peak, they realize what they have done. Is it too late? I don't know. Only God knows that for today. But the day will come when, yes, it will be too late. Our Bible tells us about that tonight. We see that in Babylon, in verse 24, was found the blood of prophets and saints and all that were found on the earth. God held Babylon accountable for all of the blood that was shed for all of the born-again Christians throughout time. The Antichrist, Satan, and his reign from Genesis up until this point in Revelation, God holds them accountable. God holds them responsible, and God has begun judgment. And this is not Armageddon. This is not Armageddon. This is just the precursor to Armageddon. God is just putting the pieces of the puzzle together to gather all of the nations of the world against Him in the Valley of Megiddo. He is passing individual, small-time judgment in order to gather all of the people together for His great white throne judgment, which is coming. And as we move forward in chapter 19 and further, we're going to see where God is not done yet. He still has a couple of chapters left to bring these people forward. And we still have the millennial reign of Christ to come. The Lord hasn't shown up with His church yet, but it's coming. It's coming. As we close tonight, we've just been given a real dark image, but we've seen celebration from that image. We have seen where God has told His people to celebrate the judgment that has come upon Babylon. So as a Christian tonight, when you look at all of the judgment that has been taking place that we've looked at thus far against evil and wickedness, understand that God loves the Christian tonight, and understand that God hears your plea. Understand that God hears your heart's desire and your heart's moaning. God has not ignored you. God has not set you on the back burner. God has got your redemption in His sight. And the day is coming when He will pass judgment. And when He does, your redemption will draw with nigh. You will be with Christ. You will be vindicated. But it will be in God's timeline. Remember the beginning words of our verses tonight. Rejoice. God is telling His people to rejoice because that judgment that has been sought after for so long is now beginning to unfold. So we have His promise that wickedness, that evil, that Satan and hell and everything that moves with it has got its day. That its day is coming. And we see it spelled out for us in Scripture very vividly is how it's going to look and how those people that are involved with it are going to have their time. They're going to be met with judgment, and God's justice will go through. Pray with me, please.